all that time he spent in the chair and he was diagnosed with cancer and died of cancer, you know, people in the world would say, well, go look, great low that did for him. You know, he still died of cancer. Man, if we can only understand, this life is such a small drop in the bucket in comparison to eternity. And you know, that man, not only did he change his life in this world, but his eternity was forever changed. And his children were affected and his wife was affected. And so the way that we live our lives and the time that we spend down here with God, and let me challenge you, your children are never too young to start training them to read the word. Read with them at night. Read the word. When they're too young, start reading with them. As they get older, start encouraging them to have their own time with the Lord. You know, Silas sits at the and watches videos on YouTube, and he'll be singing along with YouTube. And they're learning how to have their devotions with the Lord and to read their Bibles. And like I've said lots of times, the Bible says that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And so my kids read their Bible. They might not understand everything they read. That's okay, because their spirit is receiving things even that they can't explain yet, that the Holy Spirit can bring back to their mind later. And so I challenge you, make time in your life for God. If we have time to talk to other people, but we don't have time to talk with God, we are too busy. And so 7 common mistakes that we make in our devotions. Number one, we forget who we're talking to. The Psalms speak often about who God is. And if we come into our devotion time like, oh, okay, I got 15 minutes or I got 20 or whatever. And we, you know, sit in like, okay, God, I know that this is what I'm supposed to do. Well, I don't know about you, but if I met with a friend and they said, all right, how long are we going to be here? Let me check off my met with Shannon today. I just assume, you know, you're not me with me because, you know, I mean, I believe that God knows our heart. And sometimes we have to get ourselves in check. But I would challenge you, when you first come into your time of devotion, if you come in like, oh, God, I wish I could watch TV right now. Just right then repent and remind yourself, wait, I am talking to the creator of the universe. And yet he has time for us. So how is it okay for us to come in and just with a wrong attitude? So when we come in that way and we recognize, because this is a common mistake, and I'm telling you things that I have experienced in my own life, all of these things I have done, and I have come into my time of devotion like, all right, you know, okay, it's been 10 minutes and I still got a long way to go. And that's the wrong way to be. And so we need to repent right then and just admit our need to be, say, God, forgive me. I want to be with you. Start remembering who the God is that you're talking to. The God who created the sun and the moon, the earth. The God who gives us life and breath. And remember that. Because so that we don't take that time for granted. Because often we take for granted the people that we care the most about. And so we need to not forget how important he is. Number two mistake. We don't spend time with him in the secret place. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5-8. We're going to read those verses. It says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. You know what the hypocrite means? It means an actor. It means one who assumes a character on the stage. That's what that word means in the Greek. You shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So if your goal in praying is so that people would see how spiritual you are, well, then when they do, that's all you get. That's the end of it, is people think you're spiritual and that's it. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Like Bill Hybels said, when you spend time in the secret place, people will be able to see it in your life. And so it does change you. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now, we can all talk about heathen and their vain repetitions, but how many of you, every time you pray over your food, you say exactly the same thing? You get to where you don't even think about what you're saying. You just, that's a vain repetition. We need to stop doing that. If we're going to thank God for our food, we need to think about the food in front of us and say, God, thank you for this food. And if that's all we say, you know, that's okay. Vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. You can sit down. So, I want to point out one part from verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door. Church prayer time is very important and is very biblical. But private prayer time is very important also. And that's what this is talking about here. So when you have shut your door, why do we need to shut the door? Because otherwise you will be distracted. And if you are like me, you know that as soon as you start to pray, everything in the world will happen. You'll remember 10 things that you need to do. Anything from stuff you need to get at the grocery store to people you need to call to bills you need to pay, et cetera, et cetera. If you need to, I use my phone a lot because I have my Bible app on my phone. I will make me a to-do list on my phone. That way I can take it off my mind. I'll just start right there and make a to-do list as far as whatever is coming to my mind. That way I can put it out of my mind and go back to my devotions. And so shut your door. If you have to tell your children, do not bother me unless someone is bleeding for, you know, however long you're going to be. It's funny, you know, we can do that if we were on the phone with a bill collector or with somebody that we can consider important, we would shut the door and tell the kids, figure it out, you know, but sometimes in our devotions, we don't do that. And so we need to learn to shut that door and say, look, you want me to pray right now. Just tell them it will be good for you if I spend some time in prayer. So shut the door. And then I love this part. Pray to your Father. Notice what this says. Who is in the secret place? God is already there. When you go to the secret place to pray, recognize the fact God is everywhere. He is already there. You don't have to bring him down from heaven. You don't have to hope that he will come there to meet you. It says when you go into the secret place to pray, pray in secret. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place. He's already there. And your Father who sees in secret. So he hears you, he's there with you, and he sees what you're doing. Sees in secret will reward you openly. Psalm 91:1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It is a wonderful thing to be in God's shadow all day long. If we can learn to dwell in the secret place, then we can be in his shadow and be with him. So, number three, we don't pray fervent prayers. And we're going to kind of connect these two together because these scenes that we're going to watch from the war room, which I really had been feeling led to play. And then Lori played a song from the war room and it was just kind of confirmation. So this movie, if you have not seen the war room, it is at Redbox. I highly suggest that you rent it. It's very good. It has lots of good things to teach you and it is worth the investment of your time. Now she was dealing with marriage problems. Even if you are not dealing with marriage problems, the things that you learn about prayer, the encouragement that it gives you, not only supporting a Christian movie, it is worth the investment of time. But Elizabeth, the lady in the movie, has been mentored and her mentor has taught her, you need to get in the prayer closet like this verse says, and you need to learn to pray. And so we'll see how she tries to do that in the beginning and then what ends up happening. That's one of the things that we don't do. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That first part is necessary. We have to confess our trespasses. If there are wrong things between us or between us and God, we got to confess that and get that straight. It says, and pray for one another that we may be healed. And then the effective, which means producing a decided, decisive, or desired effect. Fervent means very hot, exhibiting or marked by great intensity of feeling. This Priscilla Shire, the one that played Elizabeth, she said that that word also means passion. The passion that drives you past exhaustion, past discouragement, that is stirred up by God's Spirit. Because the truth is, this is awesome and we can get fired up and go home and pray a prayer. But we have to do it more than just one time. When God wakes us up, or when we realize, man, you need to get up earlier in the morning and you're tired, that's when you need to be stirred up by God's Spirit to be passionate, to walk with the Lord. You know, or when you're having your devotions at night and you're tired and it's been a long day and you say, God, you are worth it. And I will pray fervent, effective prayers. And so that's a mistake that we make, is not praying those prayers. We don't pray in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have got to pray in faith. And when you find yourself just praying, but not actually expecting God to hear you, not actually believing that anything is going to change, you need to stop right there. And you need to remind yourself who God is, and that he said that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Because it can just become vain repetition, just asking the same thing, but not actually expecting God to ever act. And the enemy will steal the results if he can steal our faith. Because without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please him. We must come to God believing that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Number five, we don't pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we have to learn to pray more than just for a few 5 minutes before we go to bed, or for a minute and a half over our food. We have to learn how to pray without ceasing. How do we do that? Well, this says, in everything, give thanks. One way to stay connected to God is to be thankful to him all the time. Just for everything, in every situation that you find yourself, when you wake up, and I was looking, the Jewish people, they have all these blessings. When they wake up, they bless God for the breath that he's given them. They bless God that they can see. You know, throughout the day, they bless God for different things. And if we will learn to thank God throughout our day, it will change our attitude and it will keep our heart focused on him. And so Matthew 25 tells an account Jesus told of 10 virgins who, when the bridegroom came, because when the Jewish weddings, they didn't know exactly when the groom would come to get the bride. And so they just had to be ready. Well, the 10 virgins, five of them that were going to be the bridesmaids, five of them they all had lamps, but only five of them had oil, enough oil to last for whenever the bridegroom came, because they had to light it. The other ones just had a lamp, but it didn't have any oil in it. In the Old Testament, the light was the candlestick, and in the tabernacle, the lamp was to burn continually to represent the presence of God. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. We anoint people with oil. And so we need to have the Holy Spirit present in our lives and stay conscious of him, and, you know, praying in the Spirit, the Bible says, in all occasions. And so it is important that we stay connected to the Holy Spirit, that we have our oil filled in our lamp, that we have plenty of oil, and that we stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said in Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. That leads us into number six. Number six is watch and pray. In Luke 21:34-36, Jesus said, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness. Maybe you don't struggle with those two things, or maybe you do. But number three, a lot of us have times that we struggle with the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. We can just get busy with the cares of this life and forget to be watching and looking for God and praying. Verse 35 says, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore. That word, watch, there's three different words for watch and watchful. They mean, you know, similar things, a couple of them. But this one means to keep awake, to be sleepless. There are times we need to stay awake. We need to not let the enemy cause us to fall asleep on the job, so to speak. We need to keep awake and be watching. Verse 36 says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. We have to get more serious in our prayers. We can't just pray a few little prayers here and there. We need to get serious about our prayers. That word, watchful, means to abstain from wine, to be sober. And it's interesting because in Matthew or in Luke 21, it also said your hearts can become weighed down with drunkenness, with carousing. And so, you know, that's one of the things that it can be real easy to fall into that. So be watchful. The last one, Matthew 26:41, Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that word means to be vigilant, which means carefully noticing problems or signs of danger. We need to be vigilant in our own spiritual lives. We need to be on the watch and allowing God to keep our eyes wide open to the things that the enemy is using to tempt us, to pull us away, to keep us from being vigilant, to steal our prayer life because it is our lifeline to God. And so we need to be vigilant in that. The last one, we don't fight in prayer. Ephesians 6 gives us the armor of God, and it goes through the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. That is very important, the breastplate of righteousness, because it's real easy in ourselves to get focused on our own righteousness. And that can go one of two ways. It can make us prideful if we start checking off all the good things that we do, and it can cause us to pat ourselves on the back and forget how much we need God. Or it can cause us to feel so shameful because of our lack of righteousness that we don't even feel worthy to come into his presence. We don't have to be worthy in our own righteousness. That's why Jesus died. So that he became righteousness for us. And so he is our righteousness. So when we put on that breastplate of righteousness, we can come into our prayer closet if we have missed it all week and we feel ashamed and we feel like, God, I have put other things before you and I have done things I shouldn't have done and I've said things I shouldn't have said. But you know what? We can put on the righteousness that comes from our relationship with Jesus. And that doesn't mean that we don't confess our sins. We confess our sins. We are honest about where we are. We repent. But in doing that, we accept Jesus' righteousness, understanding that because he died on the cross, we can be completely forgiven and righteous to come into the presence of Almighty God. We put on the belt of truth. We live by the truth of what the Bible says. And then we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is why I wanted to show this video, because we saw her do that. She started reading the word, and that word began to transform the way that she was looking at her situation. When you find yourself down and focused on the circumstances, begin to read the word. If you don't know where to look, Google a scripture. If you don't want to do that, that's why you have brothers and sisters in the church that you can call and say, hey, I need somebody to pray for me. Can you give me a scripture? You know, can you pray with me? And that's what we do with one another. We bear one another's burdens. We lift one another up. We pray for one another. But verse 17 of Ephesians 6 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. We have to be perseverant in prayer. Because I will tell you, you can make a decision that you're going to get up, that you're going to stay up, that you're going to spend time with God. I guarantee you the enemy will come to distract you, to cause you to forget. You will get tired. You will get busy. You will get, you know, whatever. You'll get discouraged. You have to press past that. And you have to be perseverant. And you have to remind yourself, this is the most important thing that I will do all day. George Mueller said that, if I do one thing every day, he said, I forget exactly how I said it, but he said, it's that my soul be happy in the Lord. We have to make it a priority like Bill Hybels. Robert Dial used to say, people do what they want to do. You can make excuses to God all day long, but the truth is God knows how many hours you have in the day. And Jesus didn't even have a house. He did not have a house of his own, so he certainly didn't have a closet that he could go into. So you know what? He would stay up all night. He would go into the mountain. He would go into the wilderness. He would go apart to pray so that he could have time with his Father. Verse 19, I want to end with this. It says, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The beautiful thing about spending time in prayer is that our heart begins to change. God begins to fill our heart with his heart. He begins to show us what he wants to happen in the world. And rather than just being focused on self, we begin to see things from his perspective. And as we go into missions month, do you know that missionaries are just regular people? They get over on the mission field and they get discouraged. They go through hard times. They struggle with their flesh. And they need us to pray. And that's what Paul was saying to these people. He said, pray for me that I will be able to speak boldly as I ought to speak. As we begin, I remember, and I want to remind you of this because it's something that God spoke to me about this church. God said to me a couple of years ago, if you will build my kingdom, I will build your church. And so our job is to build God's kingdom. It's not just about, you know, making ourselves known. It's not about building our kingdom. It is about building his kingdom. And that's one of the reasons why we want to be involved in missions, because there are people all over the world that have never heard the name of Jesus. And we have the opportunity to be involved in that. And as we get the heart of God and we begin to put our treasure where his heart is, then our heart can become like his heart. And so I just challenge you. And we're not going to close. I'm just going to close in prayer. We're not going to have like a specific altar call tonight. If you need prayer, we are here and we would be glad to pray with you. If you need to surrender your life to Jesus, there is no time like the present. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. But I challenge you, do something about it. If you're already spending time with the Lord, ask God, does he want you to give him more time? God, you know, forgive me if I haven't prayed effective prayers, if I haven't prayed fervent prayers. Begin to pray like the word says we're supposed to pray, because all of these are things that the word says we're supposed to do. So begin to put it into practice and let God show you how to pray effective, fervent prayers, because the Bible says that his ears are open and he is in the secret place to meet with us. And so as we spend time with him, he's going to change us. And as he changes us, he's going to allow us to reach out and change others. And he will change them as we are obedient to him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for just the opportunity that we have to meet with you, Almighty God. Lord, and I just pray that we will not just be hearers of your word, but that we will become doers of your word. God, that we will do something about what we've heard, that we will be dependent on you to help us and not just try to do it on our own. God, that when we are broken, that we will come in honesty and dependence on you and allow you to do your work in and through our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.